Hey, you out there. Yes, you. My favorite Talking Points listeners. And what should we call you? The Points Posse? I don't know about that. Maybe it'll stick. Anyway, it's episode 2 of our special cruise week on the podcast. And if you haven't heard, episode 1 dropped with some exclusive Norwegian Cruise Line news. So make sure you check that out wherever you get your podcasts. And then head over to thepointsguy.com for all the fun and environmentally friendly details on what's in store for the next time you set sail. Now, on this episode, you're in for a treat. We recently stopped by the Skiff Global Forum, which is the largest travel industry intelligence and marketing platform on the planet. Seriously, it's a really amazing conference they hold all over the world. The Skiff Conference dishes out all the news, info, data, and services to every sector of the industry. Not only does that include airlines, but it covers cruises too. So lucky us, we got exclusive one-on-one time with Arnold Donald, the president and CEO of Carnival Corporation. We talked about who cruises, Carnival's future, and so much more. Here's episode 2 of Cruise Week on Talking Points with Arnold Donald, the president and CEO of Carnival, right after this.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to this episode of Talking Points. I'm your host, Brian Kelly, the points guy, and today we are taking to the high seas. Yes, that's right. We're cruising on today's podcast. We've got Arnold Donald, who is the president and CEO of Carnival Cruise Corporation, which happens to be the largest travel leisure company in the world and largest family of cruise ships with over 100 ships on the seas right now. Arnold, thank you so much for joining Talking Points today.
Thank you, Brian. And it's wonderful to be with you so I can talk about our 9 world-leading cruise line brands.
So let's talk about cruising. You know, there's a huge, you know, upwards of 30 million people this year are going to cruise. It is definitely a subculture. Why do people love cruising so much?
You know, it's not really a subculture. What happens is someone takes a cruise, and if they cruise on the right experience for them, they become cruisers for life. So it's not a subculture.
Yeah.
It's actually everyone could be cruisers for life if they cruise in the first place. So we're underpenetrated in every market in the world. We're going to be underpenetrated. It's 1.4 billion estimated travelers a year, 500 million vacationers a year in the world, 30 million cruisers. So really small part of the market. All the cruise ships added together add up to less than 2% of the hotel rooms in the world. One of every two people cruise with us. So we don't even consider other cruise lines as competitors because are we going to chase the other 1% or are we going to chase the 98%?
Yeah.
It's not that it's cruises for a certain type of people. It's that there's a certain cruise for every person. If you're with a bunch of college friends, a different one. If you had kids with you, a different one. Different destinations. If you're dying to go to Tahiti, that's going to be a certain choice set. But the reality is at any moment in time, there's a right cruise experience for what you're looking for. Socialization, fun, excursion, adventure, whatever it might be. And if you get that experience in that moment you're looking for it, you realize cruise is just the best way to travel.
All right, just a quick update from your perspective. On the heels of Hurricane Dorian that ravaged the Bahamas, how are the Bahamas?
You know, the Bahamian people are extremely resilient. We have a lot of operations in Grand Bahamas, which was hit by Dorian. We have a shipyard there. We have a new project. We're building a new destination there. That's going to continue. The shipyard is up and running. Not only is it up and running, but we're also providing technical support and manpower to help get the water system, you know, for the area, for the general population reinstituted. And we're also helping with the hospital to get the hospital up and running. But the shipyard is already back up. We have private islands there. We have private destinations throughout the Caribbean, but two private islands in the Bahamas, Half Moon Cay and Princess Cay. Both of those are up and running already.
Okay.
And we have another project, a new project on it. We have one in Half Moon Cay well established, but a new one. We're going to continue with that. So we see good recovery. Our job is to bring commerce, to help that recovery accelerate, and then to provide the support mm-hmm. that we can through that and through the rest of the community.
People, I think a lot of people assume, oh, cruising's Caribbean, Mexico, but in fact, Asia, and you know, there's cruise routes that are rapidly growing around the world. For someone listening who's never cruised or doesn't want to do Caribbean, like mm-hmm. what are some of the hottest new routes that you see?
The first thing I would tell them is don't sell the Caribbean short. There's you know, a lot of ports in the Caribbean, and it's, you know, Eastern and Southern and so on. But having said that, we go to 700 destinations around the world. Mm. Antarctica to Greenland to China.
I'm dying to go to Greenland.
To Hawaii.
Yeah.
And we go all over the world. You pick a place you want to go. And in many cases, the best way to see that place, take Alaska even, mm-hmm. is by
Which
cruise.
Which I've never been. I've got
to... Oh, you have to go to Alaska. By cruise is the best way to go. We were going to Cuba for a while.
Yeah.
The best way to go to Cuba was definitely by ship.
And now that's essentially been nixed for the time being. So what will it...
No, it's been shut down for the time being.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully, you know, the administration, you know, they did it for reasons they had mm-hmm. related to Venezuela and other things.
Yeah.
Hopefully, they'll change it. And if not, some future administration hopefully will.
How involved are you as CEO with, you know, all these crazy new things you're putting on the cruise ships?
We have a roller coaster coming.
You have a roller coaster
coming. So we have a roller coaster on Carnival Mardi Gras, which will be coming late next year. It'll be the first roller coaster at sea.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Is that is the passenger, you know, the cruiser experience, is that something you get very involved in?
Oh, absolutely.
And did they come to you with the final say?
But we go big, like with the roller coaster but we also... go small. So we have expedition ships we're building too mm-hmm. for our seaborne line.
Yep.
They'll have a couple of submarines on them so you can go on the ice cap. So it's very different types of experiences depending on what people are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no one thing that fits everybody. Some people, they don't want the water parks and the roller coasters and all that. Other people, they love that. And so what you do is you create different experiences across the brands.
So how do you keep up? I know you have over 25 ships in the works. I mean, it takes years and years to build a ship, right? Yeah. And like, what is the right number of ships in the fleet to, you know, as you mentioned, there's almost limitless upside and demand.
Well, the trick is, we do have a lot of myths about cruising that mm-hmm. as an industry and as a company, we have to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be careful on the capacity expansion that you don't build faster than your ability to create mm-hmm. the demand.
Especially but with economic downturns.
And especially with economic downturns, geopolitical tensions, mm-hmm. people are afraid to travel to certain places, all those kinds of things. And you got to balance all that out. But fundamentally, what we do is there are only so many shipyards, there's only so many slots. Mm-hmm. So you're going to build new ships. The question is, you know, how fast are you going to retire the less efficient
mm-hmm.
you know, vessels you have? And that depends on the level of demand. And you try to keep all the ships relevant for the brands, you know, for the individual brand. And we usually have a 1.5 to 2 year lag period.
You know, we keep hearing biggest and biggest and biggest. What is the big? Are we going to have aircraft carriers that are carrying passengers around the world? I mean, at what point do we get
to? To be honest with you, today's cruise ships are much larger than an aircraft carrier. So the typical aircraft carrier and what they call gross registered tons, this displacement of water displacement.
The more you know.
Is like 95,000 mm-hmm. gross registered tons. And typical cruise ship now can be 180.
Wow.
There are some, we don't have one yet.
Yeah, yeah.
That's 220,000 gross registered tons. So they're already larger than aircraft carriers, to be honest with you. But having said that, you know, some people want that big experience, and some want, you know, a seaborne ship,
mm-hmm.
which has 450 guests on it or 600 guests. So we build new ships that are small.
Yeah.
We build intermediate-sized ships with 2,000 to 3,000 guests, and we build them that carry 6,600 guests
mm-hmm.
because it's very different experiences, and people like different things.
What happens? You know, I know planes get sent to a graveyard or scrap. What happens to an old cruise ship? Do you sell them to other budget lines?
A typical life for a cruise ship can be 40, 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
We'll keep them in our fleet 25, 30 plus years,
mm-hmm.
and then we may then sell them to another use. It could be island cruising. Mm-hmm. It could be a floating hotel.
Mm.
Some people have timeshare programs where they say, you know, we'll give you a cruise for a day or two to come check out this timeshare. So it's out of our market
mm-hmm.
kinds of activity. And often the ships will go there for some period of time.
Let's talk about loyalty. You know, airlines have highly sophisticated frequent flyer programs, multiple tiers, free flights. Clearly you're working with a different model, and cruisers, I would say, are way more loyal than airline passengers when you get someone who's passionate.
Yeah.
Can you just talk like high level? I know you guys have rewards programs for the cruise lines. They're not as, I would say, popular, in my opinion, from my perspective, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. with credit cards and like, what is your take on loyalty and in driving passenger growth?
You know, our job is to exceed our guests' expectations every day. And if we do that well, we generate the loyalty you're talking about. And each brand has their own loyalty program. In many instances, it's more a badge of honor mm-hmm. that the, you know, guest treasures. They do get special treatment and benefits and offers and all that, which helps make them feel special. It's sort of a badge of honor to say mm-hmm. that I've achieved platinum level, whatever the level might be in a given brand. So we find that our loyal guests do value the loyalty programs. Mm-hmm. We try to enrich the experience for them for their loyalty. And I would say every brand has a very high degree of success with that.
One of the things that has irked me in the past about cruising, and it has improved, is the Wi-Fi on board. Mm-hmm. And it was really slow and really expensive. Will Wi-Fi ever be free on board, or at least mm-hmm. broadband speeds? Like, what are the limitations there tech-wise, you see?
Well, we have MedallionNet, which mm-hmm. is the fastest Wi-Fi I see across a large portion of our fleet now. With MedallionNet, in most instances, you're going to get, you know, LAN-like speed and everything. And so it's a huge improvement. You can stream and so on and so forth. There are still pockets in the end. It depends on satellite coverage. And satellites are generally not in spaces where there's very low populations. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there are gaps in the satellite coverage as you sail around the world. Mm-hmm. Because, again, it's oriented around, you know, population centers. And so given that, you know, you can always have some areas where it could be slower mm-hmm. or you out of service for a bit. But the cruises today, you're not at sea for 30 days in a yeah. row or anything. I mean, you're always in port somewhere. Any port, you're going to have it. But on the ship itself, you know, we've dramatically enhanced the Wi-Fi mm-hmm. experience across a large portion of the fleet with MedallionNet.
I've had mixed experiences boarding. You know, sometimes it can be a little bit of a cattle call, sometimes better than others. You know, you guys do try to time it, but what technology, like airlines are using biometrics to get people through quicker, and what are some of the ways that you're trying to get that onboarding and deboarding experience faster?
Our embarkation experience is very speedy mm-hmm. these days with facial recognition technology and other technologies, including our own technology of Ocean, mm-hmm. Our Ocean Medallion, which is in our Princess brand. But beyond Ocean, the Carnival line, you know, has an app that works phenomenally well in an embarkation process. Our EDA brand has gotten their embarkation down to as little at times as 30 seconds.
Oh, wow.
And so there's many technologies available. We utilize varied ones mm-hmm. around the world. You know, every home port has different, depending on what country, it has different regulations and so on and so forth. You have to, you know, tailor make everything. But the reality is embarkation is becoming less and less friction mm-hmm. oriented. So, and that's what we want to do with Travel Evolve. Mm-hmm. And that's the principle behind our Ocean platform, where you have a little disc, an Ocean medallion, that identifies you. It's like a license plate. Mm-hmm. We have sensors all over the ship. And every crew member knows your name. They know what you like, what drinks you like, what your excursions are, et cetera. And your cabin, except you don't need a room key. You don't even need a cell phone if you don't want to, but you can have a phone and stuff and yeah. have apps on it, but you don't have to. And, you know, you don't need a room key. Your room recognizes you and accepts you. You know, the bartender knows your name, knows what drink you had last. You leave the bar and go on the bow of the ship, and you're looking at whales in Alaska.
The whales know you as well.
The drink will come to you. The virtual whales. Yeah. We've got some future technologies where you can see virtual whales, and they'll probably know your name. But in any event, it's just personalized, customized mm-hmm. travel, just to remove the friction in travel. And that's what everybody aspires to.
All right. We're going to take a quick break right now to hear from our sponsors.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to episode 2 of Cruise Week on Talking Points. Let's jump back into my conversation with Arnold Donald, the president and CEO of Carnival Corporation. Now, as CEO, do you get to go on a cruise and enjoy it, or are you working when you're on board?
I always enjoy being on our ships. Yeah. First of all, I have 150,000 passionate, dedicated, committed employees whose human spirit level is so high because their goal is to do the right things in the environment and in the communities we touch, but also they exceed our guests' expectations, and their spirit is sky high. So I thrive on the energy of our people. Secondly, guests choose to go on a cruise. They're having the time of their life. Mm-hmm. They're developing memories. They're having great moments with the crew, with each other. And again, the human spirit level is sky high. So I love going on the ships because I'm, like most people, I'm a human spirit guy.
Yeah.
And when you feel that energy and all the positive vibes, I mean, it's a natural high that's fantastic.
Now, most of the U.S. airline CEOs always fly in coach. To set a precedent, I have to ask, do you do the interior stateroom when you cruise?
You know, I have done it once, but mainly, we don't cruise for free.
Yeah.
So I won't cruise for free either.
Interesting.
And
I get a good board discount member.
Yeah. I get a big discount for a week or two.
Yeah.
But beyond that point, you know, we can get friends and families or whatever, but I usually pay to cruise because I have 150,000 employees, and if we let everybody cruise for free that was an employee, we'd never have any guests on board.
Right.
So the reality is, I'll pay for a cabin.
You got into cruising. I heard a story, I don't know if this is true, that blackjack played a role, and I'm a huge blackjack player myself. Yeah, in fact, with my employees, anytime we travel, we always play blackjack, and it's like a bonding experience. So is that true that blackjack is what got you involved in cruising in the beginning?
Well, it's how I first cruised. I was an amateur card counter, and I trained in, believe it or not, in North Dakota in $2 blackjack tables where they train the dealers for Vegas. And so
they were training dealers, you were picking up on that.
The dealers taught me how to play and how to count. And then they advised me at that time, this was in the 80s, at that time the best place to play was on cruise ships.
Yeah.
So I took my first cruise to play blackjack. I was amateur card counter,
and
really.
And they never caught you?
It was no reason to catch you because they had limits and stuff. So I could win a few $1,000s.
Got it. So you weren't walking out of there with like $100,000 in
no,
cash?
No, I never did. Thousands, yes, but hundreds of thousands.
So let me just catch your style. This could tell me a lot about your leadership, too. So you've got a 6 and a 5, and the dealer's showing an ace. Do you double down?
A 6 and a 5.
So you've got 11. The dealer's showing an ace.
Do you double down? Let me tell you how you have to play it for real.
Yeah.
If you're counting,
it
matters what's in the deck.
Right.
Okay. And if you're not counting, then sure, you double down.
Got it.
Okay. But if
so you are a calculated risk taker.
Nah. But if you're counting, you go with what the count is.
Yeah.
And depending on what the count is, you what are you
But winning. Nowadays, you can't really count because there's so many decks in the
– Well, now you can't count because even on our ships, you know, we kind of auto-shuffle.
Yeah.
If there's 6 decks in the shoe, you start auto-shuffling, and you'll never get it. But back in the day when I did it, they could go down to half a deck in the shoe.
So you were paying for your own cruises just by gambling?
I always.
And more?
I made money every time.
The more you know.
But so I only would play like an hour.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is wait until you caught the deck right, and then you up the bets, and you were fine. You know, so it was fun. It was fun. But it was, you know, it was an amateur thing. And again, I was never going to get rich doing that. It was a hobby.
Let's talk about
I want to reverse the question. What would you do?
Well, you know,
tell me about your leadership.
So I'll tell you exactly what I do. So if I was playing conservative, I probably would just hit. If I had 2 drinks, I would double down.
Yeah.
So
right.
It depends how frisky I'm feeling. But but funny enough, I actually, you know, after a couple drinks, I play a better game of blackjack because I think you think less and you actually go with. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, too much to drink is a whole different story. But I think there's a nice balance of losing, you know, having a couple cocktails and feeling, you know.
The important thing to remember is entertainment value.
Exactly. And you only
play as
you're
doing
with
entertainment,
a little bit. Totally.
I
think you are supposed to double. Anytime that you have an 11, I think they say that.
So. You should. But you can't. Yeah, it depends. But yes.
Now, one of the cruising experiences I'm dying to take is the transatlantic from New York City to be able to leave from Manhattan. The Queen Mary.
Yes.
Have you done it?
You know, I have not.
I hear people talking about, you know, getting dressed up every night. And
oh,
it's that
fantastic.
Old school glamour.
Yeah, it's the iconic bucket list thing everybody wants to do. You see a lot of stars. You'll find a lot of musicians like taking the transatlantic because it's the best way to get their equipment over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and they're pretty particular about their equipment, so it's with them and they sail with it. And we have some of the best lecturers, you know, Oxford University lecturers, you know, we have a planetarium on board, and so on. It's just a phenomenal experience.
In June of this year, you guys openly admitted to knowing that you need to be better about sustainability and the environmental management. Can you talk through since the steps that Carnival has taken to make cruising more sustainable?
Yeah, I think, first of all, we are taking a lot of steps, obviously, before the situation in June. But I think the most important thing is one mistake is one too many. You know, one misstep is one too many. And we need to learn from any mistakes made or any missteps made, make certain we don't repeat those, but also learn from those to try to mitigate any possible future ones that could happen. And so for us, you know, we see it as, you know, we there's something wrong. We need to take care of that. And number two, okay, what are we doing to make certain that we're doing everything we possibly can so there's nothing happening again? Mm-hmm. We brought in a guy named Pete Anderson, a former federal prosecutor, also a former court-appointed monitor, et cetera, to help us in ethics and compliance. We pull stuff across the corporation, put it in one group. He's adding additional talent, additional procedures, you know, additional processes to enhance our overall compliance efforts. We've amped up all the positive things we were doing already in terms of reducing single-use plastics and modifying how we handle food waste and so on. We have invested in technologies for years. We're the first with liquefied natural gas to reduce emissions. We helped develop the technology of advanced air quality systems to help reduce emissions and cruise, and to see not just for us but for the industry. We're doubling down on all those efforts and constantly, you know, looking at new things we can do. And then we've invested in marine environments everywhere in the world, whether it's maintaining coral reefs or whether it's trying to, you know, help clean up beaches or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we'll continue to do those things.
I know animal tourism is something that's growing, and using animals as props, you know, like swimming with dolphins and things like that. Has Carnival taken a stance from the excursion front on limiting the environmental impact of excursions?
First of all, in terms of limiting environmental impact for excursions, absolutely. In terms of participation with marine life, we respect the marine environment, we respect the marine life. The things we do, we do with regulations that are accepted and generally recognized as safe for the environment and healthy and safe for the marine life if we engage in anything.
All right, our final question, and it's a little bit of a selfish one. So I want to do a luxury cruise. What do you think I should do, Seabourn or Cunard? I know this is putting you in a tough position.
Okay, you're not putting me in a tough position. It depends what you want. So Seabourn, small ship, ultra luxury. Ultra. You want?
And I'm 6 foot seven. You so want? Is it going to be too small?
No,
for
it's not. It's yacht like. If you want Ocetra caviar, frozen vodka and Lay's potato chips at 2:32, you're going to have it, and everybody will know your name because it's a small ship. So, so that's ultra luxury. Cunard is luxury and iconic.
Yeah.
Queen Mary II is the only ocean liner in the world. There's only one ocean liner, and it's the Queen Mary II. There are cruise ships, but only one ocean liner.
But is there caviar?
And you can also get caviar and stuff on that.
This is
but it's 2,000 to 3,000 folks, and there's ballroom dancing and dressing every night and high tea in the afternoons and so on. So, you know, different experiences. One super ultra luxury yacht-like. The other one classic, you know, high-end cruise, and two different things. So I would tell you, do both.
Do both.
Yeah,
that,
take
Seabourn. Sounds like a reasonable.
Take Seabourn to Antarctica or wherever you want to go, and do the transatlantic on the Queen Mary too.
Sold. Arnold Donald, thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you on the high seas in the near future. Thank you,
Brian,
so much.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Many thanks to Arnold Donald, CEO of Carnival Corporation, and his entire team on the ground at Skift. The Skift Global Forum is now in its sixth year. It's the largest creative business forum in the global travel industry, with more than 1,100 attendees from 40 countries and more than 550 companies. This episode of Talking Points was recorded at the Shops at Columbus Circle. Located in the heart of Manhattan, it offers some of New York City's best shopping, dining, entertainment, and views of the city and Central Park. Seriously, it's amazing. Next time you're shopping, tag them on Instagram at The Shops at Columbus Circle. And as always, thanks to my amazing TPG team who produced this episode during Skift. Christy Matsui, Scott Meyerowitz, Wallace Cotton, and Nat Rowe. And to my podcast crew, Margaret Kelly and Caroline Chagrin, I'm Brian Kelly. Safe travels, everyone.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.